RepublicanVoice.com.
You're listening to Mornings with Gary Byron, the Republican voice of reason, only on the Talk of Connecticut Radio Network.
I got to tell you, there's not many people that would organize an RNC, you know, Republican National Committee trip to a country that is right now in a war, you know. Well, literally a war zone, yeah, and purposely, intentionally going there. And I know that's, you know, there's vulnerable people there, but, I mean, you're putting yourself in danger. But that's exactly what our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Comfort Interview Chair did. You know her because we used to get her on the show, I think, every other week. She was the endorsed Republican candidate for U.S. Senate to take on Dick Blumenthal. You know, I got to tell you, she's a very smart woman. And evidently very brave as well. I don't know many people. You know what, though? I would go. I would actually do the show live from Israel. I mean, we have to figure out how many hours. Like, I have to coordinate the difference of hours.
That'd be
like, right now, it's 8:11, right? So, like, what time is it in...
7 hours. They're 7 hours ahead, so it's
In Jerusalem?
Yep, it's 15:10, so 3:10.
You fly into Tel Aviv, right?
I think so. She'll know.
Yeah, she'll know. I'm going to bring on a second here. So 7 hours.
Yep.
All right. They're ahead.
Yes, sir.
We
definitely could do that.
You think John would foot the bill?
Absolutely
I'd go.
Absolutely not.
I'd go.
I wish he would. That'd be awesome.
Let's welcome back to the show Leora Levy. Leora, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. It's nice to be with you again.
It is always a pleasure to hear your voice, Leora. So let me ask you first, before we get into the nitty-gritty here, what prompted this? I know you're Jewish. I know these are your people in Israel. But I got to tell you, the timing is you really put yourself in danger. Why did you go to Israel right in the middle of a war?
Gary, I went to Israel because on October 7th, when I woke up and heard about the attack, it took me back 50 years to October 6th, 1973, when I was a girl of 16 years old, sitting in synagogue and heard the rabbi announce the attack on Israel by five Arab countries. I had just gotten back from a summer in Israel, my first time in Israel, 6 weeks earlier, and I wanted to help. I wanted to go and help. And, of course, I was 16. My parents said, nothing doing. You're not going.
Of course.
And I felt powerless. But on October 7th of 2023, I was not powerless. And I decided I was going to organize a trip for Republican National Committee members and some other distinguished Republicans to go to Israel to show our solidarity and support, to see what happened, to speak to survivors, to speak to government officials, military officials, intelligence officials, and come back and bear witness.
All right,
that's why we went.
I've got a lot of very specific questions, but I'm going to start off with a pretty general one. Were at any time from... I guess from the flight out there to all of your time, were you there for a week or 2 weeks or how long were you there for?
6 days.
6 days. Did you feel your life was in danger at any time? Were you ever afraid for your life in any of those 6 days?
No, I was not. We had excellent security. We had private security, men who were retired from the Shin Bet, which is their... similar to our FBI, on our bus and also in an escort car. When we went to the south, we had an IDF unit with us. We wore protective vests. I think I sent you some photos. You could see one of me in a protective vest with the IDF guys. And we also were fortunate in that the days that we went to the south and then up to the north were still under ceasefire. So they were less, it was less threatening to be there. of course, the day after we went to the north, we were in the north on Wednesday. On Thursday, Hezbollah started shooting rockets again at northern Israel. So we got very lucky.
So most of your time was during the ceasefire, but you said you did see. You were there for some war activity. Okay, so tell me then, what did you witness? Describe to me what you saw while there.
Do you mean what I saw about the attack on October 7th or anything war related?
Anything war related. What did you witness in your 6 days of describe the war and the people?
I get alerts on my Apple Watch about rocket attacks. So I can tell you my watch was vibrating frequently. The one rocket attack that I experienced was on Saturday night. That was my last night. I was staying at a hotel in Herzliya, which, by the way, I was the only, quote, tourist. The hotel was filled with families who had to evacuate their homes in Kiryat Shmona, a town in northern Israel. And they've been there for 2 months. The whole families, mm-hmm. all dogs, kids, everyone. I got to know some of them. But Saturday night, around 10 o'clock, I think, there were rocket attacks in northern Tel Aviv, and Herzliya is just north of that. While we did not have to go into the safe rooms, there's one on every floor of the hotel, and I made sure to find out where it was when I checked in. We did hear the booms of the Iron Dome interception explosions. We could hear them clearly, and there were multiple booms. They kept coming. And then I frankly didn't sleep very much that night. I heard the sounds of fighter jets and military helicopters going past us. This hotel is right on the water. So they were going down to Gaza, and I could hear everything, though I went out on my balcony several times and could not see anything, but I heard it and I recorded some of the sounds.
People wonder, if it's war-torn, is there electricity? What's functioning and what's not functioning? Are kids still going to school? Yes.
In Israel, everything's functioning.
Okay, so kids are going to school.
This is a fact of life. Yes.
Yeah.
Even the kids who had evacuated, who were in the hotel, I asked them, are you going to school? And yes, they're going to school. They're going in Herzliya and in Tel Aviv, not in Kiryat Shmona, but they are going to school.
And it's daily, it's work as normal, right? And people get up and go to work.
Those whose offices, whose businesses are open, are going to school. I will tell you, in Jerusalem, many of the shops, many of the restaurants are closed. You have to realize they've mobilized, I think over 300,000 people into the reserves. Many people have had to leave their jobs. Also, many of the workers are Palestinians who come from from Judea and Samaria, or used to come from Gaza, and now they're not coming. There's also a problem with the harvest. This is the time of the harvest of a lot of fruits and vegetables, like the tomatoes, which are so delicious in Israel, and persimmons, which is a very popular fruit there now. Those are in season, so people are volunteering to go harvest because the workers aren't coming, and a lot of the foreign workers have gone home.
How fearful on a daily basis are the Israelis from...
They're not. They're united and they're resolute. They know what has to be done.
No, I know, Ken. I get that.
They cannot live with this threat on their border, and what they're doing, and to a T, whether they were 10 years old or 80 years old, the Israeli people who I spoke to just having normal conversations said, please tell the Americans, one, we appreciate their support. We need their support. But we are not just fighting for our country. We are fighting for America, too, because this is not just Hamas and not just Hezbollah. This is Iran. And when they finish with us, they will come for you. Every Israeli knows that, and that is a message they asked me to transmit.
Getting into more political figures, what is their impression right now of both Benjamin Netanyahu and Joe Biden?
Well, they're very grateful for Biden having come to Israel. That was a very brave thing for him to do, but the problem is, to put it kindly, he's gone wobbly.
Well, yeah, I think we all know
that. Yeah, his focus and Blinken's focus and Jake Sullivan's focus is on creating a Palestinian state. How do you reward a terrorist organization for a heinous, depraved attack such as the attack on October 7th and then give them a state, create a state for them? That is a fool's errand. That is beyond foolish. The Palestinian Authority is not much different than Hamas. They're not different. They just don't have the weapons or the power that Hamas has accumulated. You can't put them in charge of a state. That is unrealistic.
Are they under the impression that all Palestinians support Hamas?
You know, there have been polls done since the attack in October, and a very large percentage, something over 75%, said that they would vote for Hamas again, that the attack made them feel proud. I saw the video, the 47-minute raw video of the attack at the IDF headquarters in Tel Aviv. We saw that video. We saw it because I felt strongly that the people who were murdered are silenced. They have no voice. So I made myself watch it so that I could come back and be their voice. Now, in that video, these videos were shot by Hamas themselves, most of it. When they took the hostages or the corpses back to Gaza, the population were cheering. The people, the civilians, participated in further desecration of the bodies of Israeli soldiers and women who were taken there and already killed and taken back to Gaza. They participated in gang raping the young Israeli girls
who
were taken back to Gaza. I saw that. So you tell me who's innocent.
Do they feel that these hostage exchanges are fair?
They understand they have to do what they have to do. We can't look at it through our lens of sitting here in America, thousands of miles away. I personally would have asked for a better deal, but maybe that's the best they could get, and they need to get their hostages back.
So yeah, no, I feel the same way.
I don't want to judge it. They must get the hostages back. The stories that are coming out of torture and the bad treatment of these poor people are horrific, and they've branded all the children with the exhaust of their motorcycle on their legs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the least of it.
All right. Go ahead. Leora, I need to take a quick break. Stay right there because we're going to come right back to you. More with Leora Levy right after this.
No one ever likes calling their insurance company. It usually means there's a problem. And when there's a problem, you don't want to talk to a stranger. You want your agent, the agent who knows you. That's Michael Van Otterkirk and his staff at State Farm of Newington. State Farm has been the number one auto insurer in the U.S. every year since 1946. So when a problem arises, you'll be relieved to call State Farm of Newington, 860-666-1037. Because like a good neighbor, State Farm of Newington is there.
Bronze Automotive keeps you trucking through the tough winter weather ahead to get the job done.
Trucking.
Bronze Automotive has everything you need to get through the tough weather this winter. Plows and accessories, plus a great selection of ice scrapers and ice spreaders. Farmer's Almanac predicts a snowy winter in Connecticut, so count on Bronze Automotive to help steer you through it all with the best quality plows and accessories. Check out the all-new Snowway 26V plow for half-ton trucks.
Trucking.
Bronze Automotive, 22 Thomaston Road, Litchfield. Call 860-482-1100 and online at bronze-auto.com.
You're listening to Mornings with Gary Byron, the Republican voice of reason, only on the Talk of Connecticut Radio Network.
4 minutes after the hour of 8, our guest, former Republican-endorsed candidate for U.S. Senate, Leora Levy, just returning from her trip from Israel. Leora, do you plan on heading back there again?
Yes, I do. In fact, the timing of this trip, because it was around Thanksgiving and the holidays, it was, you know, a lot of people wanted to go with me but weren't able to leave at that time. So I hope to be able to organize a much larger trip later in the spring for RNC members and perhaps a few others who are other people who could make a difference when they come back here.
I would love to be considered, and I would
love to have you join us.
I would do the show live.
Fantastic.
Yes, from Jerusalem, and what shocked you the most in all that you witnessed there?
Well, I would say that how resolute Israelis are and how they take this in stride because of their experience,
shared experience
over so many decades. But they are absolutely resolute. I also, for instance, when we were in the town of Ofakim, which is in the south, and it was one of the towns attacked by Hamas, we met with a member of Knesset. That is like their Congress, so he's like a congressman. His name is Almog Cohen. On that morning, October 7th at 6:30, when he heard the shots and he realized something bad was happening, he grabbed his pistol and he was in his pajamas and he went out with his pistol and he faced and killed many terrorists who were armed with AK-47s and grenades. And he saved many people in his town with a pistol, and his neighbors who had pistols came out. And together, as sort of a makeshift militia, they saved many people in their town. In that town was a grandmother named Rachel. The terrorists came into her home. She sweet-talked them, gave them tea and snacks, and kept them at bay until help could come. Her neighbor, another grandmother, she looked like she was in her 80s. Uh-huh. She saw us and talking with Alma Cohen in front of Rachel's house, and she came over and told us what she experienced and how she told the rescuers, the police, who to wait until a particular moment to go in, because that's when they would have been sated and, you know, having had a lot to eat and getting a little tired. And she helped. And she was an 80-year-old grandmother.
My goodness.
I mean, they are so brave. They are so brave.
I'm enjoying this. On October 7th, and I'm sure you remember this vividly, President Biden told America that the U.S. will support Israel 100%. Now, I'm willing to bet.
Yes, he did.
That's right. I knew you remember that. I'm willing to bet that Biden will call for a full ceasefire closer to the election to get the young vote back. I don't think
he'll wait that long.
You don't even think he's going to wait that long? It seems like he's abandoning, though. And let me know if you feel differently or if you agree. I feel that he's abandoning our number one ally in the Middle East, which is Israel.
Yes, he is.
Simply for the votes. I mean, the Democrat Party right now is split. There's a lot of pro-Palestine Democrats. And matter of fact, I would even just, maybe it's not even split evenly. I think there might be more. Do you see this as well as I do? It's like he's talking out of both sides of his mouth and trying to pacify both the Israelis as well as the Palestinians.
That is correct. Joe Biden is a politician. It is clear he is a politician.
Well, and he's not
he
even
is
coherent.
Talking out of he's not fully coherent.
No.
But I think he has enough clarity that he knows what he's doing. I actually met Joe Biden when he was first elected to the Senate. He did support Israel, but now He wants to get reelected, and he is throwing Israel under the bus because of the progressive wing of his party.
But do the Israelis know that? Do they see that?
They are more focused. They think this crisis is about the I'm reading a quote from Anthony.
Really quick. I only have 40 seconds.
Okay. He says the suffering caused by this crisis is taking a profound personal toll. The anguish that comes with seeing the daily images of babies, children, elderly people, women, and other civilians suffering in this crisis is wrenching. I feel it myself. He is not talking about Israelis on October 7th. No. He's talking about the people in Gaza. That's what the focus of this administration is. They are forgetting what happened to Israelis on October 7th.
Yeah.
And to me, that is a sin.
I don't sense the sincerity in his voice.
It's wrong-headed.
And I think the Israelis and Netanyahu himself, they're not stupid. They've got to know there's no sincerity in Biden's voice, in his tone. Leora, God bless you. Thanks for this call. And I will take you up on that. I will go with you next spring.
Okay. Well,
and I'll do the show live from Israel.
There's a lot more to tell you about my trip, so I'm happy to come on anytime you'd like.
And we will. We will get you on back more when we...